Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. If you're visiting with us, you can turn to John chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 through 18. And we encourage you to read together. If you don't have a Bible, look on with someone. And it's good to just read it out loud so you can hear yourself say it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, before we continue, just one comment. If you notice in verse 15 and 16, the word whosoever, whosoever, does that exclude anyone? That means that's inclusive. That means everybody, whosoever. So we can't say some are eligible and some aren't, because God, Jesus, said whosoever. That means anybody. Keep that word whosoever in mind as we go forward today. Now, because of the amount of material that needs to be covered today, or the things shared, I would invite you to go back and to pull down the material. The theme, I would say, is so that those are hooking up with us today. The theme is healing, and you can go on the website, or you can go ask for those messages in the bookstore. Those should be available, and you can partake of those. I've been reading this particular scripture. Let's just go over here for a moment and look at this, Psalm 23 and verse 1. We all know it, the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And a number of verses, I like God's Word translation. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. I like that. I am never in need. The New Living Translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Like the Message Bible, it says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. I don't need a thing. Now, that may sound kind of silly, but if we're going to believe the report of the Lord, then it's not silly. Every word is not void of power in the Word of God. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. I have everything I need. And don't, as they say, don't mentally turn that off and say, yeah, but I do have needs. It is an interesting thing. Years ago, I heard it was a message by Brother Hagin, and he said, when the Lord appeared to him in one of his visions, he began to dialogue with the Lord. And he was sharing something, and he said, yeah, Lord, but it's not happening. And the Lord said, I said, it's so. And Brother Higgins said, yeah, Lord, but it's not happening. And the Lord said, I said it is so. And this went back and forth about four or five times, and the Lord got stirred at him. You know what I mean? He said about the fifth or sixth time, he raised his voice and he said it was like fire came out of his eyes and he said, I said it is so. And he left. And Brother Hagin said, I got it. You know, sometimes we need to get it that the Word of God is so, not our experience, not what we're walking through, not what we have. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That'll click with somebody in a minute. Didn't say, I do not want. It said, you shall not want. That'll click with somebody. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Just for a minute. 2 Timothy 1:7. Keep the switch of faith turned on today. 2 Timothy 1:7, very familiar scripture verse, says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And the New Living Translation says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity. Timidity. And the Good News Translation says, For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. So, when there's faith, faith begins, as in the book by F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer, he said, faith begins where the will of God is known. When we know that it's God's will, there's faith. And faith acts. Faith reaches out and takes what it knows to be the will of God. So, when faith is there, faith is not timid. Faith reaches out and takes because it knows it's okay. It's all right. You can have it. Take it. And so there's no timidity, which is what this is saying. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Where there's fear, perfect love casts out fear. Where there's faith, there's no fear. And fear takes. Faith takes. Fear backs up. Fear is timid. Now, I want to hook up today. There was a scripture we shared on Wednesday, and I would invite you to get that particular message from Wednesday. We're highlighting this scripture. I want to turn to that today. Romans chapter 15. And we were excited about that scripture. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Faith doesn't worry. Faith doesn't worry about money. Faith doesn't worry about what the doctor says. Faith doesn't worry. Now let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Everybody there? I'm going to read it in the King James, but I'm also going to read it in a few other verses that will excite you. It says, Now the God of hope fill you with what? All joy and peace, what? In believing. that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you are in faith, then what's going to accompany that? What does it say? Joy and peace. If you are in faith, joy and peace will accompany that. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Now let me read this in the New Century Version. It says, I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in Him. While you trust in Him, then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that if you are looking like a prune, worrying, all, you know, tensed up, I'm going to ask the question, are you in faith? Because faith knows it has it. And if you're in faith, then this says here, the God of hope, the God who gives hope, will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in Him through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to this particular translation. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Your whole outlook is radiant with what? Hope. Not, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. You know, the doctor just gave me 2 weeks to live. I don't know. It's over. Really? I'm going to make this statement. Don't ever let any man or woman in any profession have the final word in your life. I don't care who they are or how expert they are. Don't ever let them have the final say. The final say. You let God have the final say in your life. Because when you let them have the final say, it is over. Because if you are in faith, the God kind of faith, He will fill you with all joy and peace while you trust in Him. And that'll be by what? You're not going to work up joy. You know, I said, like, joy, 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 joy. I'm in joy. No, it's going to be by the Holy Ghost. He's going to fill you by the power of the Holy Ghost with joy and peace. And you're going to walk through it. Nothing may have changed, but you got it. You know you got it, and I'm in joy. I have peace that I have it. And I'm now not worrying because of what some man said to me. I've got God's word, and I'm in faith. And I know it, and I have the answer. So I'm full of joy. I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Now, when one is in faith, then one does what? Acts. And that means one takes a step of faith towards something. I know, you've heard stories about Brother Hagin. I'll use that as an example, and then we'll look at some scriptures about that and Jesus' ministry. But Brother Hagin, you heard, he was on his deathbed, and it took months before he saw the light in the Word of God in Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. But he finally saw it, and he said, I'm coming up off this bed. I believe I'm healed. And he said that once he saw it, the Spirit of God said to him, "You believe you're well now." And he said, "Yes, I do." And the Spirit of God said to him, "Well, then, well people ought to be up at this time of the day. Since you believe you're well, then you need to get up." Say, "Get up."
Get up.
You got to get up. And so what Brother Hagin did was throw his leg over the side of the bed. You've heard the stories. I'm not telling you something you may not have heard. And he said it sounded like a log hit the floor. It was basically dead. Hadn't been used for months. Nothing going on. He threw it over the side of the bed. Threw the other leg over the side of the bed and said he slumped to the floor and pulled himself up on the bedpost. And now he's standing there. He can't go anywhere. There's no movement. And he said at that point, he said the Spirit, the power of God hit him in the top of the head, and he said it was like hot honey just hit him, and it flowed down over his body. And he said he felt pain go through his legs and just like needles. Well, what is that? That's healing. And the healing power of God hit his body, and he's standing up. But he had to get up before he was healed.
Amen.
He had to act on what he believed. He said, "I believe I'm well." And the Lord said, "Okay, you believe you're well." "Yes, I do." "Then well people ought to get up." Need to get up. And so, I know for me, similar thing happened many years ago. I was, not life-threatening, although I've been in a life-threatening situation, but the other situation I'm thinking of was I had a very high temperature, which I should have gone to the hospital at the time. And I fed on teaching tapes 24/7, just feeding on it, 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 feeding on it. And then all of a sudden, out of here came tongues. It was like a volcano erupted. And I said, "I've got it." It came out of there in tongues. And I said, "I got it. I got the answer." Felt like 10 miles of bad road. I dragged myself out of bed, took a shower, and came into work here. I had to get up and do something and act. And as I went, the restoration continued. See, it's as you go. All right. Let's turn to Mark 9. I'm believing to get some of this out today. Mark 9. And if you can't be with us a second time, go out on the website and get the next message so you can hook up. Mark 9, 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Familiar scripture. Jesus said unto them, "If thou canst believe, all things," I would say that's whatsoever, isn't it? "All things are" what? "Possible to him that believes," or "believeth." The New International Version says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Everything. Yeah, but what about the everything? Yeah, but what about this? Everything. Nothing excluded. All things. All things. The Good News Translation, "Everything is possible for the person who has faith." So that means if you have faith for it and faint not, you'll receive it. You'll receive it. I like Luke 1:37. You don't need to turn there. I'll read this for you. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." The Weymouth New Testament says in the same verse, "For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment." No promise of God will be impossible of fulfillment. And the Hebrew Names Version Bible says, "For no word from God will be void of power. Nothing shall be impossible with God." Nothing. No thing. Let's turn to Matthew 18. I'm going to read these real quick and get to what I believe the Spirit of God is. Matthew 18, 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall..." What does that say? Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Keep that in mind. Whatsoever. That means all things, doesn't it? Does that mean that? Yeah. "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The New Living Translation says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth," whatever you forbid on earth, "will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Let me ask a question. Could healing fall into that category? Yeah. If it's been promised, you have a right to forbid it in your body. You have a right to forbid it. The contemporary English version says, "I promise you that God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. But he will not allow anything you don't allow. So if you allow it, he allows it. If you don't allow it, he won't allow it." All things are what? Possible to them that believe. Now you're right there. Go over to Matthew 21:22. Matthew 21. And verse 22. And we're still looking at the subject of healing, but it also can apply in a number of other things, areas, your prosperity, your family, your children. 21, verse 22. "And all things," what? "Whatsoever," all things, "whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," what? "Believing, you shall receive." Would all things possibly include healing?
Yes.
Absolutely. All things does include healing. Now let me ask a question. When you look at this, what does this say? "Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer," what's the qualifier here?
Believing.
So you can't just ask in prayer and not believe. Because what will happen? You won't receive. And I'll point out another thing. There's many who believe God's will is for them to heal, and God is able to heal. And they ask in prayer, but they don't believe. And they don't take it. They don't take it. They don't receive it. And how do you know they don't receive it? Because they're waiting for God to do something. Because when you've received something, you have it, and you go and you act. You act as if you do have it. Don't you?
Yes.
You're not waiting for something. John 14:14. "If you shall ask..." You don't need to turn there because I'm going to move quick here. Just listen. John 14:14. "If you shall ask anything..." Would that be whatsoever?
Yes.
anything, what? In my name, I will do it. I will do it. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever, sounds like all things to me, doesn't it? Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Right? No? It says here, I just read it. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I'm reading the King James Version. He may. I put the wrong thing? Huh? I believe that's what it says. No? Unless I copied it wrong. Huh? It says, he may give it you. That's what the scripture says. John 16:23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever, sounds like all things, doesn't it?
Yes.
Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He will give it you. Now, let's turn over to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22, and we're still haven't deviated from the subject of healing. But let the Spirit of God reveal and unfold to you. If it's not healing that you need and it's something else, let this word burn into your heart. Mark 11:22, and I'm going to read through 24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. That's important, that you believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, what's the next thing? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Just for clarity, what comes first in that sentence? I heard it. What is it? What comes first, receiving or believing? So if you're believing to receive something first before you believe, if you're looking for something before you believe, why would you need to believe when you have it? You'd already know it. If you're looking for something to be healed in your body before you're going to believe, that's out of order. And I'm making a point. I know we all know that. We've heard that. But if you're waiting to believe something before you receive, the scripture says right here, we're to believe that we receive, and what? You shall have them. So we are to believe that we receive something when? When we get better or when we're in pain? When our body's not functioning properly? Now, I can't believe for something that hasn't already been provided for. We already know that we find the will of God in the Word of God. So I can't have faith for something that God hasn't already promised. So I'm believing for something, and I believe I receive it. And that's exactly what Brother Hagin did. He said, I believe I'm well. I believe I see it. I believe I receive the healing in my body. And that's when the Spirit of God said to him, you believe you're well now. He said, yeah, I do. He said, well, then well people ought to get up now. And so we did. And he got his healing. So we can see that you have to do what? Believe first, and then you'll have it. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. I'm going to read this in the King James Version first. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What is the evidence? Faith is. Faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. When I pray and believe I receive them, and then I shall have that which is not seen. Isn't that correct? So faith is now. Faith takes what is not seen, and then it causes it to materialize or manifest in our lives. Let me read this from a few translations, which I believe will help some individuals today. Now, faith is a, these are other words that we could use for faith and substance, which I think help. Now, faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. It's a conviction. New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I like that. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. So if you are not convinced that it will actually happen, that which you don't see, then maybe you're not in faith. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It gives us assurance of something that we can't see. I can't see it, but I'm convinced it's coming. I'm assured of it. The New Century, I like this. You need to write this translation down and go look it up or listen to it. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and listen to this, and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Oh, I like that. I'm going to read that again because it blessed me when I saw it. Faith means being sure of things we hope for, and knowing that something is real. What's real? What I don't see. It's real. I have it. And it's real even if we do not see it. I know this healing is real even though I don't see it. And it's so real, I'm getting up in bed, out of bed, and I'm going somewhere today. I'm doing something. I'm going to wiggle this little finger. I'm going to wiggle a little toe. I'm going to get up out of a wheelchair because it's real to me. Even though I don't see it. See, faith acts. Faith does something. And as we go, we could be in pain, we could be dragging our feet, but I'm convinced I'm healed. And the healing power is working in me. Yeah, but you don't look at the healing power. I'm convinced. Even though I don't see it, I'm telling you it's working in me. See, you know how we say in the world, their faith is contagious. You ever hear that? Why is it contagious? Because you actually believe what they believe. They've convinced you of their faith. That's a well-grounded assurance. I'm so sure it's coming to pass, even though I don't see it. Because I know. What do I know? I have faith that God has promised it, and I took it. Amen. See, I didn't beg God for it. I didn't say, oh God, please, please. He's saying, take it. Amen. It's yours to take. Just take it. It's right there. Come on and take it. And when one takes it, they then say, I've got it now. I've possessed, I've received, and it's now mine. I have it. And one that has it does something. Why? Because they're convinced that they got it. They're absolutely convinced. Because by faith, I took it. I took it. Now see, to the natural mind, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense to believe in something you can't see. But we're talking about believing in the Word of God and in God. So when I come to Him, what does it say? He that cometh unto God is what? Must believe, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Yeah. So I come unto God in faith, and He's going to reward me. Amen. Amen. Now, let me just... This is something that kind of came up. Well, let me back up just a second here. We'll just take a few minutes to share this. And I don't want to get too granular here. You know what I mean by that? Too nutsy boltsy here. But when you look at the word in Mark 11:24, receive, that word receive, and any of those who are Bible students, you can look this up. If you look at that particular word, that word receive, I'll try to pronounce it, but it says L-A-M-B-A-N-O, lambano. That's like a nice Italian word, but it's Greek, right? So, anyways, that particular word means to take. That's what the Greek word means. It means to take with the hand, to lay hold of, to take up a thing to be carried, to take upon oneself, to take in order to carry away, to take what is one's own. See? So what are we sharing? We're reading that in the context of Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you take them. See? See, it's not passive. Believe I take it. I lay hold upon that. Well, you can't lay hold upon something that hasn't been given you. That'd be stealing. And you can't take from God anyways. Something that He hasn't provided or given you. So we take, we make it, it says to make one's own, to claim, and so forth. to lay hold upon, to take possession of. That's another way of saying to lay hold of. If I take something, now I take possession of it, right? I take possession of healing in my body. I receive it. Now, let's turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse 12. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. What's the next three words? Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That particular Greek word, you can look it up for yourself if you're interested. I'll spell it to you. It's a derivative of that first word, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. This is spelled E-P-I-L-A-M-B-A-N-O-M-A-I. It's a derivative of it. It means to take, to lay hold on, take possession of, overtake it. What are we supposed to do? It says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life. Same word. Faith takes. I think that's the point we're trying to make. Faith lay hold of. It takes possession of something that's been provided. Now, with that, I'm going to just make a comment. You can chew on this. Don't throw anything at me, those that want to. I'm your friend. I'm not here to make you angry. But if you've received healing in your body, I ask this question. Why are you waiting for a manifestation? Why are you waiting for God to do something? Faith takes, faith knows it has it, and faith acts. And faith is convinced it has it, even when they don't see it. So why are you waiting? I'll tell you one thing to consider. We're waiting because we're looking to see something in the natural. Something to consider. Because I've been there. And we're waiting. And when it comes, we rejoice. But you already had it, so you said. And your faith was assured, even though you didn't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. So when we say we're waiting, my question is, why are we waiting? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves and say, why am I waiting? Because if you're waiting for God to do something so you can see it as confirmation of something that you believe, your faith is the evidence of something you don't see. So why are you looking for a manifestation? Why are you looking and waiting for God to do something? Faith takes. Faith doesn't wait. Faith takes what's been given them. Something to chew on. Something to think about, because faith is now. When am I healed? When I believe, I receive what? When I pray. And it shall come. You shall have it. Now, I am not talking about believing that you receive the money and now write faith checks. I'm not talking about that. See, because we can get over into foolishness with this. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about what? Healing, are we not? So let's not get over in the ditch here and ask some questions that you already know the answer. We're talking about healing here. Something that's been promised by God. We're talking about why, if you know that you have it, and your faith is the evidence, and I'm now filled from the God of hope with all joy and peace, and I know I have it, and it's the evidence even of something I don't see, and I'm acting on it, why am I waiting? Something to consider, because faith walks by, we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see, but only by what we believe. Isn't that not right? Amen. So you need to believe you receive healing before you feel healed. And you need to believe you receive money before it's in your hand. You need to believe that your debts are paid off while your bills are piled high. You need to believe. You receive, and then it shall. Now, let's take a real quick look. We just have a few minutes here. We're already up, but let's take a look here. We'll pick up again on Wednesday. But let's, you know what, I'll read these and you can just listen. So you don't have to, we'll take advantage of the time here. This is talking about believing you receive and take it, and then it shall be or come to pass. What happened with the nobleman's son? This is John chapter 4. You can write this down as a reference. John chapter 4, verse 46 through 51. It says, the nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He did something. He didn't wait. He went his way. He believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went his way. The man at the pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, and says, the impotent man answered him, saying, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. So he gave him a command. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. He did something. The man lowered through the roof in Capernaum. Mark chapter 2, 11 through 12. It says, Jesus said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose and did what? Took up his bed and went forth before all of them. So he took up his bed and he went. The 10 lepers, Luke 17, 13 through 14, it said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The man at the gate called Beautiful, Acts 3, 6 through 8. Then Jesus said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He did something. Aeneas, sick of the palsy, Acts 9. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Lay around a while. wait on the Lord. No, he said, arise, make thy bed. And what did the man do? It says he arose immediately. He got up. He didn't lay around. He said, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting to see what he'll do. No, he believed the words spoken to him, and he took up his bed and he arose and restored. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you'll take just a little about what we've shared today and believe to receive that which you're believing for, when you pray, if you haven't up to this point, believe that you receive, and then what are we supposed to do? Act. And your faith is the evidence of what you hope for. Let me read that scripture one more time as we close. Hebrews chapter 11. I like this. In the New Century Version, faith means being sure of the things we hope for. You can't have hope for something that hasn't been promised you. Faith is the confidence. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Faith is real. It's knowing. That's what it is. Knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. Y'all are too quiet today, or you're processing, one or the other. Because when somebody sees something and it clicks, there's an excitement. Amen. There's joy. Amen. There's like, you know what? I don't have to live this way anymore. Right. I don't have to be subject to this anymore. I don't have to be behind anymore. I don't have to be below the eight ball anymore. I don't have to be behind the eight ball, whatever they call it. I don't have to be lacking anymore. Amen. I don't have to be sick anymore. Because why? I'm going to believe to receive it. And do what? Take it. If I gave you a plate of ribs and chicken and collard greens and some nice cornbread, and I said, go ahead and take a bite. And you go, would you give that to me? Please give that to me. Please give that to me. I said, well, take it. Take a bite. Take it. Take it. Oh, please give it to me. Please give it to me. I said, it's yours. Take a bite. Eat the whole thing. There's more where that came from. And you're begging me. A lot of us go hungry at the table because we're not taking the feast that's already been put before us. And we're not taking it and receiving what's been provided. Amen. Well, I'm finished for today, just for today, and we're going to continue. Let's say this as we close. Christ has already redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, sickness and disease I forbid in my body every disease, every germ, every virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The word that I've heard today is working mightily in me. Amen. You know, I shared this on Wednesday, and it would be good to keep this in mind. John, I just shared this in light of a phone call that we got from Reverend Rackley, just sharing about what's going on down in Mexico. And he was sharing about how 10 years ago, or 11 years, actually, this will be the 12th year, how they started the Vacation Bible School in Mexico, in this particular area of Mexico. And it's all about planting seed, and seed that is planted and not torn up and watered and nourished will bring forth a harvest. And he said that what has been happening is they started with one man, because he was teaching the nationals, or the people in that country. And he thought the first meeting he had would be maybe 30 people. And 60 showed up. And this man from Mexico came to him. He was a pastor, weeping and saying, you know, Reverend Rackley, he said, there's nobody going into the jungles, into the villages, reaching the children. I want to do a Vacation Bible School. Nobody is going into the villages. So he was weeping, and Reverend Rackley said, well, why haven't you gone? He said, I don't have the money. He said, well, how much money do you need? He said, $700. He said, here it is, go do it. And he thought that'd be the last he ever saw this man. He came back the next year and said he reached 30 villages and 700 children received Christ. And he said he wanted to do more. Well, that was back in 2000, 2001. This past year, they reached 150 villages and 15,000 children were reached, of which 7,000 came to the Lord. That's 150 villages. Seed, seed, seed. And my point is, he said that what's happening is east of the, where they're located on the next, they border Belize. He said right in Belize, word of mouth, they're now running into 30 villages in Belize training the people coming. They went into 30 villages and so many children were reached. And coming from Guatemala, seven people came up from Guatemala to Belize to be trained. They want them now to come into Guatemala. This didn't happen overnight. This was seed planted. And now the people are not satisfied with having a Vacation Bible School once a year. They want something going on weekly. And I told him, I said, you know what's happening, don't you? He said, yeah, churches, churches. And it all started with the children. And the same thing is going to happen here. If you'll take the word and plant it and plant it and water it and nourish it and nourish it and nourish it, you'll have a harvest of healing. You'll have a harvest of prosperity. You'll have a harvest of harmony and peace and joy in your life. If you just keep feeding on the seed, keep planting the seed, keep planting it, miracles will start happening. Abundance of miracles will happen, but it starts with coming and you got to plant the seed. You got to plant it. You got to find out what's mine and take it. You got to take it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Telling you, body parts are going to grow where there were no body parts or lost body parts. Legs are going to grow. Eyes are going to grow. You watch it come to pass. coming to pass. All things are possible to them who believe. All things. That means an arm or a finger or a hand grow where there was no hand or it was taken. All things are possible to them who believe. Well, it's not possible. Well, said who? You're a created being, and the Creator says it is. So I'm going to believe him. Amen.